The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The 1996 movie that finally put an end to racism, made it so where white supremacists could no longer openly march on Capitol buildings and shout to the streets to demand their insane agendas, never happened again. Never happened again.
The movie about a black man in the Deep South facing racism and the worst of tragedies, and is told by the most obvious and best of perspectives, his handsome white lawyer.
The movie from Joel Schumacher, director of such fun, ridiculous films as Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, and The Phantom of the Opera. Just insane, unreal movies about nonsense. I'm sure this one will be... It's about what now? And that... Oh, God. What? And then... Oh, God!
This is A Time to Kill on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, Blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we are talking today about we're going to try not to talk about it too much. I'm going to...
a scrappy young film from 1996. Yeah.
So this is a hard one.
When we set out to do this podcast, we purposely chose the highest grossing movies because we knew that there were going to be fun movies and boring movies.
A lot of blockbustery and nonsense.
Bad movies and weird movies and stuff that we wouldn't normally watch.
Yeah.
This is a rough one. It's a hard one.
It's a tough movie.
It is A Time to Kill, 1996, right?
Yep. It's a Joel Schumacher film based on a John Grisham novel. All-star cast. Crazy cast in this movie.
Yeah, an amazing cast in this. Everybody from 1996 is in this movie.
Yeah.
Except maybe not Keanu Reeves. He probably should have been in it, but you know.
Yeah, that would have been good.
He was a good, crazy white supremacist in The Gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he could have been the white supremacist guy in there. That would have been fucking insane.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah. We would have been talking about...
He's just one of the rapists at the beginning.
Yeah. We would have been talking about... Remember that movie where Keanu Reeves raped a 10-year-old girl?
he was smart to say no to that.
Yeah.
I think that would have been The Matrix, made that a much harder watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I like this movie, but all I can think about is a year and a half ago when we saw him rape that girl.
Yeah.
So anyway, this movie made $108,766,000. Good for it, because it talked about some very serious stuff.
Yep.
That back in the 90s we were still dealing with, and we obviously have gotten over that.
Long past now.
You cannot be a white supremacist marching in the streets anymore.
Yeah.
Black men are not just getting, they're getting a fair share now. Like, I think they're getting a fair break.
Sure.
I mean, obviously we learned nothing from this fucking movie. Right. All right. This is going to be a hard one to talk about.
Yeah. It's going to be a really tough movie to talk about. Just warning, I guess. It's rape and...
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Neither of us are also
racism. And
neither of us are African American, so
neither of us are black from the Deep South.
Yeah, exactly. So we have no real experience.
And neither of us have 10-year-old girls.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we're not the right people to talk about.
So let's not.
Let's not talk.
You want to talk about other things?
Well, Matthew McConaughey's in this movie, and this is a movie where people were like, "Wow, Matthew McConaughey can really act." Then he just made a bunch of romantic comedies, and then came back for Dallas Players Club.
But as you pointed out, in between those, still a lot of good solid movies.
He has a solid run. Yeah. Like, he gets a lot of shit. And I've said it a lot of times where it's like, remember Matthew McConaughey just decided to act one day?
Yeah.
And he just showed up and he was a good actor. But no, he's good in Contact. He's good in Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
Which is just a fun movie.
That's
not a great movie.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sahara, right?
Sahara, very fun movie.
Yeah. His acting is not top shelf because it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what that movie needs him to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just because he made Lone Star, which I had forgotten about until I was looking him up, was the same year as this movie. And that one, it's a good indie movie where he's just a small town sheriff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Got some accolades for that as well, I believe.
Yeah. So it actually has a better rating than this movie. Probably because this movie has, as painful as it is, a very unrealistic ending.
It has a lot of It's a movie that's very easy for either side of the political spectrum, I suppose, to hate on.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
I can see why it would be fairly divisive. Even the Roger Ebert review, which is mostly positive,
yeah,
calls them out a little bit for doing this movie and barely focusing on any of the black characters.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
This movie, it has those issues. It's the problem is that Samuel L. Jackson. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the plot.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we have to talk a little bit about the plot so people know what this movie is about. Can I
just
talk about
Eternal Champion? They just came out with a new album. It has some, like, dope metal. It looks like Frank Frazetta drew the album.
Dope metal.
drew the album cover. It's really fun.
It's like pulling off a band-aid, man. We just gotta get through it. We get through this together.
The new Brandon Sanderson book just came out. I'm like 100 pages into it. It's pretty great.
Fargo's awesome.
Yeah, Fargo. Actually, I haven't watched the last episode yet. I'm excited.
But also, it's also about race relations.
Yeah, I know.
All right. So, all right. Let's just go over it really quick.
So, Samuel L. Jackson. The Deep South in the 90s. Yeah. It's modern day. Matthew McConaughey is a young, up-and-coming lawyer.
He's got a perfect white wife with a perfect white child.
Yep.
You pointed it out.
It's when you show the picture, I mean, because first of all, Matthew McConaughey is a very... a handsome man.
Also, and Ashley Judd
is a very beautiful woman.
Gorgeous woman.
They're both like 25 at the time.
Yeah.
So they're both just like peak gorgeous.
Yeah. They're both blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah. And then they're just sitting there with their blonde blue-eyed daughter. And I'm like, man, fucking Adolf Hitler's just masturbating to this shot over and over. This
perfect white couple.
I mean, everything he ever dreamed about is just this one shot of the three of them together.
It is funny that you made that joke, because later on Samuel Jackson points that out, kind of. Yeah, a little just bit. Like,
it's a big scene for him. It's his big scene.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like it's he's got like a toe-headed like a little girl and stuff. Like they're super perfect white.
Yeah.
But all right, so there's.
It also made me wish that they had gotten together in real life and made like perfect, I don't know, beautiful, six just beautiful, most beautiful people in the world.
Well, because this was 96, right?
Yeah.
So that was what 26. Yeah, they would have
been
like 24 ago?
Right now. So they would have been just the most perfect, beautiful 24-year-olds in the world.
The most beautiful, 25-year-old girls that we could probably be watching in some sort of movie or something.
Instagram, let's be honest.
On Instagram. They'd be following Instagram and be like, that's my daughter? Shit.
Jesus.
Actually, does he have any daughters?
I don't know, actually. He might.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but he's a very handsome man. Ashley Judd, also a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Man, it's funny. I always think of Ashley Judd still like as a, like on the younger side.
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't put her in the Diane
much
Lane.
Much older than we are.
Yeah. I haven't put her in like the Diane Lane. You know, and Diane Lane got super hot, but she was older.
She's old. She's MILF category. Yeah.
I still have Ashley Judd. It's just like young Ashley Judd.
Yeah. That's because she hasn't been doing a lot lately, I don't think. Not that I've seen, at least.
I guess so. Nothing like big.
And, yeah.
Like, I feel like Ashley Judd could
Diane Lane's playing fucking Superman's mom and shit.
Yeah, exactly. And in that other movie where they're trying to get her...
get the granddaughter back or whatever. Yeah.
Which
the
is Kevin Costner one. Yeah, it's like still Superman's parents, right?
Yeah, it's still Superman's parents.
Yeah. Superman's parents just got together to save another kid.
Yep. That sounds like something Ma and Pa Kent would do.
Although they kind of fucked up the first one.
Yeah, that's
like, they
true.
Fucked up the first kid, which was the super kid.
Oh, God.
Like, how do you fuck up the first kid? He's super... I mean, I guess you're from a small town and you're a farm and shit and you just have a super child.
Yeah.
I guess it's easy to fuck that up.
I mean, in reality, it would be a lot of pressure. Like, hey, this guy could destroy the world if he wanted to, or save everybody, or basically do whatever he wants. So, make sure you teach him right from wrong.
And you're just like, all right, let's go fucking, like, feed the hogs.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking pick some wheat. Like, I don't know what else to do. I grew up on a farm. Like, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
I don't even like newspapers. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to tell this kid.
So he wants to be a writer? Right. Come on.
I'm much more on board with the fucking Superman's parents. It's not like they sent him. He landed in an idealistic, like, New York apartment with, like, a New York journalist who, you know what I mean? He was very gung-ho about doing right and wrong and morality and stuff. No, he landed in a fucking farm.
Yeah, he landed in real America.
Yeah. Which is also weird that he didn't just... go insane or turn into like a crazy extremist or something.
I mean, there's
like
a lot of movies for that.
That's true. I mean, there's
one
a lot
came
of,
out like last year.
There's a lot of takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's Brightburn.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of comics for that, really.
Yeah.
There's
tons
of Superman is evil comics or
Superman
is a totalitarian government unto himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a big atom bomb that they just move around and stuff.
That too. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Anyhow.
back to the fun of the time back to kill. Back to the
super fun of this movie.
I remember seeing this movie when I was a kid. It was 96, so I was like 2.5 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it about the same time.
I'm a very young man. Yeah. I'm a very spry young man.
Yep.
Supple, maybe even. I could say that. Follow my Instagram, you'll see. I do remember watching it and liking it. And I think I might have watched it in a class.
Yeah?
Now that I think about it. Yeah. Like some of the ending kind of reminded me of watching that shit in the classroom.
I could see that. Like an ethics class or something.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
They're teaching you the judicial system.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe like one of those, you know, those classes where American history, maybe? I don't know.
We're going to teach you the judicial system, but we're going to show you a movie where they do not follow the judicial system.
Yeah, where it doesn't happen.
The point of the movie reality, is that. Well, no, the point of the movie is that he gets away despite having committed a crime.
Yeah, I mean, but the insanity plea.
That's not why he gets off.
But anyway, still though, like, what was the class? What was the class where they just acted out a fucking trial? What class was that?
That's called The Teacher Needs a Break.
Yeah, I know that. I know it's the teacher's trying to be, like, fun or whatever. But there was like, one class where everybody acts out a fucking trial. It's like
civics or something, yeah.
Civics, yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. I know it's not economics.
It's definitely not economics.
Nope. Although, no. I did watch... I
mean, there's a lot of money to be made.
I watched Trading Places for Economics, system. Which was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
That's super cool.
I mean, they cut out the titties, but it was still cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not as cool as a Romeo and Juliet titty that we got to see in freshman year.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking great. Yeah. Rite of passage, man. I hope the kids nowadays still see that one big tit. It doesn't sound that sexy when I say one big tit.
I don't know.
yeah.
It still works for me.
But it was sexy as fuck, man. You're like 14 years old and you just get to go to school and see one big tit. It's fucking awesome, man. Anyway, I'm pretty sure I saw it in whatever class we did a fucking trial in. All right, so Samuel Jackson.
Right, so in the meantime, Sam Jackson's a guy.
It's hard to get the words out.
Yeah. Sam Jackson's a guy.
What's that name hanging guy, right? Like, we follow, like, the white supremacists at first.
Yeah, so we follow these two guys, these two, like, redneck white supremacist dudes.
One of them is one of those, it's that guy. One of the guys it's one of those that guys. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
He's been working with Tarantino and like, Robert Rodriguez and stuff lately. And stuff
yeah, he's been in a lot of different things.
But they're just, you know, they're fucking around messing with, like, little black kids and stuff.
Yeah, they're, like
that.
Super drunk. It's, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. They're messing with black kids, like, throwing empty beer bottles at them and shit.
Yeah. And then, for lack of, I don't know how to say it easier than this, but they get a 10-year-old girl, black girl, and they rape her. And try to kill her. Yeah. They try to string her up.
It's an extremely uncomfortable scene.
It actually happens super fast, and it's really well done that they don't show anything.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the movie, Matthew McConaughey like explains what happens. Like, he in detail says what happens, and it's way worse.
It's way worse
than anything you could have fucking shown in this scene. So it was very smart for Schumacher. Which again,
takes place Schumacher. In between the two Batman movies.
That's and fucking
it's
fucking insane.
It's fucking insane. First of all, it's also really well directed. Like, it's a very well directed movie. Very well shot.
It's very well shot.
Pacing is good.
Acting is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a screenplay you don't turn down if you're an actor at that time. Right. So everybody on board.
I mean, it's a very meaty screenplay. Everyone has a chance to have at least one scene where they really get to chew into it.
Even like the pieces of shit. Kevin Spacey is great in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where I'm supposed to say that no more. Cause,
you know. I know. Well, you called him a piece of shit. I think our bases are covered.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, like everybody is, you know, even like some of the small, like the judge is really good in it. Like everybody judge gets good. a good scene in it.
Even the white supremacists get a scene. Even Kirkwood Smith gets to roll in and get a scene.
Yeah, he shows up real quick. Yeah. We're like, hell yeah, Kirkwood Smith. Yeah. He gets fucking lit on fire, that guy. That
fucking guy.
It's fucking cool. And then Kiefer Sutherland is in it, and he's a white supremacist, which is also cool. This is pre-24.
Yeah, and this is also insane that Kiefer and Donald Sutherland are both in it, and they just don't, like, they pretend that they're not related in any way.
They're not father and son.
Yeah, which is insane.
Yeah, I wonder if one got the other one.
Yeah.
Or if...
I mean, he had worked with Kiefer before.
Kiefer's only worked on him in Lost Boys.
On Lost Boys, yeah.
But I wonder if they didn't know, and then they just got it.
They cast them both?
Yeah, they cast them both. And then
they showed up on set, and they're like, hey!
Dad, what are you doing here? You're here to see your son really, acting as a white supremacist? Just
villain it up over here?
No, I'm collecting a paycheck, dickhead. I'm the old lawyer guy.
That really doesn't need to be in the movie, but, you know, it's Donald Sutherland. He's great.
There's a couple of things in this movie that, all right, that the movie fails at. One is what Roger Ebert said, is that it follows all the white people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gives all the white people the character arcs. And right. It gives all the white people, like, the learning experiences and shit like that. Like, it really does that. But it also, it adds, the Donald Sutherland character is completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Although it's easy to see. I mean, it's based on a book. Yeah. It's easy to see, like, in a 500 or 600-page novel, you'd be like, all right, yeah, here's the couple of chapters where you get to meet his mentor.
And you get to find out,
and that also digs into McConaughey's character and where he's coming from and stuff. Like, you can see how that could be a fun couple chapters.
And if you give him, like, a McConaughey, like, breaking away from him type of deal, like, I could see that working out.
But again, you're talking about like a 600-page book. You want to have some time to really
fill in the characters world. Exactly. Yeah. But here, in this one,
two-hour, 20-minute movie, you kind of got a
unnecessary.
Yeah.
Also, the completely unnecessary Matthew McConaughey, Sandra Bullock
love triangle.
So bad. It means nothing to the. It changes nothing in the screenplay.
Sandy B though,
and it's just for us.
You can't have Sandy B and Matthew McConaughey in the scene together and not want them to fuck.
It was just because they were like, well, we have the two hottest stars kind of right now, like we cannot have them like have a love interest situation. Yeah. Also, funny note on that you pointed out was that Sandra Bullock plays an idealistic young.
She's supposed to be in college.
Coming out of college. Yeah.
She's supposed to be in college.
She's in college.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey is a little bit. I mean, he's an inexperienced lawyer, but he's still
a lawyer. So he's graduated and supposed to be older. Yeah.
And in real life, she's like 4 years older than him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he looks older than her. He's got that receding hairline and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And she's just perpetually a girl next door. That was completely unnecessary. Like all that Sandra Bullock, Matthew McConaughey stuff. Sandra Bullock necessary, but you know their little stupid love shit was dumb.
I guess I didn't mind it.
Yeah,
they're charming together.
Unnecessary.
I thought it was an interesting. I mean, it wasn't fully. It was another thing that I bet you is more explored in the book. Where again, you have time to really. All right, so here's this guy that we're setting up as kind of this moral man in an immoral world.
Yeah,
but is even he tempted by?
Well, this movie kind of goes the To Kill a Mockingbird route.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like following a lawyer who's trying to do the right thing, and he's clearly on the right side of the law. But I can see where you're like, well, now he's distracted by this. Like now there's more adding onto his plate and stuff like that, and now he has like this young girl, and now he's dealing with that and all that stuff.
His wife's not around. He's under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Yeah.
But again, in the book, it probably works. In the movie, we're just like, this is supposed to be racial tensions and shit.
Yeah, yeah. We got a bigger fish to fry than whether or not you're going to fuck Sandy B.
No, we have like huge fish. Yeah. This movie takes on a lot, actually.
So back to the plot.
I guess. Matthew McConaughey finds out what
Everybody starts finding out.
Like, because they arrest him, and it's a... Rock, the cop, the sheriff. Well, Chris Cooper's
one of them.
He's one of them, yeah. Charles has done, who's really cool in this movie.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's like the local sheriff or whatever.
And he goes to arrest him, and they're immediately calling him the N-word.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, in a bar, they're like, no N-words allowed. And then he's like a fucking cop.
Yeah.
But it's a Deep South thing. I've heard stories, man. I've heard stories of the Deep South still just being like that.
I guess. I don't know.
And so... You know, he goes and he arrests them, and then he tells Matthew McConaughey, he shows up, and he tells him, like, hey, didn't you defend this kid one time? He's like, no, that wasn't me. And he's like, well, they just got arrested for raping this little girl.
Well, Chris Cooper tells him.
Yeah, Chris Cooper tells him. Yeah,
they're in, like, a diner or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he tells him, like, it was Samuel L. Jackson's daughter who he had represented his brother. So he knows him.
Yeah.
He knows who it was. So we get that, like,
it's a fairly small town. Yeah. Like, a lot of people know a lot of people, yeah.
So then Samuel L. Jackson goes to Matthew McConaughey and tells him, like, hey, those three other guys, like a couple of counties over, that raped that other little black girl, which is fucking an insane thing to say.
Yeah.
They got away, right? And he's like, yeah.
Well, they got off with like manslaughter or something. They got like a 10-year sentence.
Yeah. Something like that, right? And he's like, yeah, they did. And it's fucking insane. So then when they're arrested and they're coming into the court, Samuel L. Jackson obviously... brings a fucking machine gun and shoots them dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like the, it's like the fantasy, right? Like, that's when something really bad happens to you, you're like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker. Like,
yeah, right.
But he actually, does it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is an almost fantastical scene, like the way it's shot and stuff like that.
It's shot very, like, Untouchables.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
like,
slow motion.
Yeah, Battleship Potemkin style. Yeah, yeah.
So he also shoots Chris Cooper in the leg.
And we're, and I was like, no, Chris Cooper is a great actor.
Yeah.
He's the shit. Right, he shoots him in the leg.
He has a scene in this movie, too, that's fucking great.
Again, everybody gets a fucking great scene. Kills the two guys. And then, you know, they go and arrest him, which is also interesting. They didn't arrest him there. He just like,
well, he gets away.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in the chaos.
He just goes home.
But he just goes home. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they show up and they arrest him. And then, you know, he asks Matthew McConaughey to
represent him.
And Matthew McConaughey is like, it's the right thing to do. But he also has no money to pay him.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's got a lot of things like that I think, again, in the book, really get built up a lot. In this, they still get covered.
Yeah.
But it's still like not as much probably weight as it has in the book.
Right.
But and then we do a trial where Kevin Spacey is the other
Kevin
guy.
Spacey's the DA. He's trying to make a name for himself. He sees this as like a slam dunk case.
Yeah.
And it's like if it's become a big news and stuff like that.
The rest of this we can polish over.
It's also kind of a weird choice to make him. They make a lot of people kind of evil when they don't have to.
Yeah.
And I guess it's to play on the racism thing. I'm not really sure. But, like, Kevin Spacey especially, he could just be the DA that's like, oh, yeah, that guy committed a murder.
No, but I think it plays to his not looking at the case, but just looking at numbers. Like, looking at, like, this is going to make me famous. And then
it totally is.
When he gets in, he's like, oh, we pulled this judge? It's my birthday. Or no, he's like, oh, this is what we're doing? It's my birthday. And he's like, oh, we pulled this judge. Oh, it really is my birthday. Like,
yeah.
Like, he doesn't care about the case itself. He just cares about that.
I guess it's just supposed to play
inhumanity. Especially when it comes to that and you're not seeing people as people.
Right.
I mean, Kiefer Sutherland is obviously an evil guy.
And right. Well, I mean, he's their other brother.
Yeah, he's the brother of the two guys that got killed. And he immediately, when he's at the funeral, he tells, like, their friends, like, bring the Klan.
Yep.
Yeah. He's like, you guys still in with the Klan? And they're like, yeah, of course. We're in fucking Mississippi or whatever. And then that's when Kurt Smith
shows up.
So Brett shows up. He's the, like, Grand Dragon Master, whatever the fuck
they call whatever garbage Yu-Gi-Oh card that he represents. Yeah.
Fucking weird shit that they just came up with. It's like they just wanted to be wizards.
Yep. I mean, look, we all want to be wizards. But
we were wizards, but it's a weird thing to mix that with racism.
I know.
That's a very weird thing.
Yeah.
It's not like it has president. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like...
Like in the middle of King Arthur, Merlin just turned to the camera and was like, and also, fuck black people.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like, what, Merlin?
He just drops like the N-word and everyone's like, hey, don't do that.
Merlin, man. Come on.
Yeah, like, wizards weren't like known for being racist. Like, that's a weird thing because you could have gone with like Confederate, you know what I mean? Or
generals, right?
Yeah, you go with generals or something. Or even like World War II stuff, which a lot of like neo-Nazis do.
Well, KKK was pre-World War II, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But so they went with wizards and dragons and shit. That's fucking weird. And a bit nerdy, which is kind of funny.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, Kiefer Sutherland gets the Klan immediately. He gets brought into the Klan in a weird, pretty well shot, again, well thought out scene where it just looks
weird
and
fake. Where he's like recruiting him and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like...
Surreal.
Super surreal. And it's like a thing that nobody can associate with because it's not real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a good... And then you find out one of the cops is also part of the KKK.
Yeah, you find... And then you also... I don't know if it's this scene or later on, but you find out one of the KKK guys is not really about it.
Yeah.
And he keeps like giving them tips and stuff, being like telling them to get out of the house. Or
because the rest of the movie is just the KKK like burning crosses at their house, trying to blow up the house. There's a part where they set up a bomb.
So there's a bunch of that stuff. In the meantime,
they kill his fucking paralegal's husband. Yeah. What the fuck was that?
Wow, that was fucking weird.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah,
yeah, they
like
burned down his house. Yeah. And that's when Ashley Judd bounces out of town because this is getting a little too wacky for her.
Yeah.
She also finds out that Sam Jackson came to him the day before and basically said he was going to do it.
Yeah, when they asked him about those guys getting away and stuff. And he was supposed to tell the police and he didn't.
Right, and he didn't.
Yeah. So she blames him for a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But this it's just like an escalating thing while the trial is happening. Then there's fucking riots in the streets. Well, actually more, not riots, but they're more like protests.
Yeah, so there's like a dueling protest going on.
No, there's a Molotov cocktail where Kurt Smith gets burned alive.
Yeah. And then, it becomes a riot.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is insane that somebody lights him on fire.
Yeah.
Like they throw a Molotov at him and he'd light him on fire and
he dies. Yeah, no, it's really insane.
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool. I dug that scene.
Yeah, the eventually have to bring in like the National Guard and they got
and it becomes
tanks and shit outside the courthouse.
Incredibly poignant and ridiculous that I don't have to say it, but this shit's still happening.
Yeah.
But Matthew McConaughey brings some chops to this movie.
Yeah, McConaughey's great in this.
He's really good in it. And his last speech is really good. And I'm surprised it got like one Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Nomination. Samuel L. Jackson, I think, was nominated for the Golden Globe. He did win Outstanding Performance from the MTV Movie Awards.
That's right. Look at MTV. Yeah, probably ahead of the curve.
I know. Probably the same year that Godzilla got the Lifetime Award.
And he goddamn deserved it.
There was one year where Clint Howard got the Lifetime Award, and it was just for the bit of people talking about Clint, and you're thinking it's Clint Eastwood.
Oh,
and it was just for that bit. It was actually pretty good.
That's pretty good.
There's just a lot of old-timey Hollywood people being like, Clint is great. I've worked with Clint. I mean, and then it was Clint Howard. And it was just like, oh, they give him an award for a bit.
I mean, that is the most perfect Clint Howard way to get an award. Exactly.
And it's Clint Howard, so it's a great bit.
That's really good.
And the joke is, nobody would ever give you an award, Clint Howard.
And he was just like, no, you're right.
Yeah.
It's a good, it's a good bit.
It.
It's funny.
It's a good bit. I'll take it. It's like the... we're talking about twins. We're just
we need the exact opposite of good. We need all the bad, all the bad things that a man can be.
Danny DeVito, will you do that?
Yeah,
he's like, I'll do it.
That sounds like me.
Like that's the bit.
Yeah.
MTV Movie Awards. You get a popcorn.
You get a popcorn. Golden bag. Popcorn.
A golden popcorn bag.
Yeah.
They still have those?
I think so.
Are we dating ourselves?
I know. I think that still happens.
Right. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Now it's just like people I don't know.
Anymore. Yeah, no. Because they're giving a best film to a fucking 5-second TikTok video.
Like, I want to say like Zac Efron, but even Zac Efron, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a gorgeous man, but he was big with the teenagers like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Now it's...
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden?
Fucking heartthrob is Joe Biden.
No, you got all kinds of young starlets of today, like
Selena Gomez.
I don't know, Miles Morales.
Yeah, right. That's a real
Spider-Man.
He's a real man.
He's a big star, right? He's got his own video game coming out now.
He's a big star. Yeah, exactly. I guess I was talking to somebody, and they were like, "Do you listen to Childish Gambino?" And I was like, yeah. And they're like, I love Childish Gambino. He's such a cool guy. Like, I saw his concert and he's a cool guy. And then I was like, it's weird that you're calling him Childish Gambino.
Yeah, that's super weird.
Yeah.
That's and I was like, his name.
I don't think that this person knows.
He knows that
it's Donald Glover. And Donald Glover's an actor.
Yeah.
And he's been around for fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
Like,
than that. Like, 20 years like, now.
Yeah, he's not an older guy, but he's an older guy. Yeah. You know? But yeah, like, I was like, you keep calling him Childish Gambino because I don't think you know. That he's the same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, I guess Charles Gambino's in there.
That's fine.
Good. He's a great performer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still have to have movie awards, right?
I'm pretty sure.
They would do like Best Kiss.
Yeah, Best Kiss, yeah. Spider-Man Kiss. Best all time.
The upside down.
Upside down Spider-Man Kiss.
Wet Spider-Man Kiss.
Hard nipple kiss.
Yeah, that's right. We got hard nipples in that kiss.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, what else? What other kiss? What do you got? Here's Looking at You, Kid, or...
For Best Kisses All Time?
Yeah. Janet Jones, maybe.
I mean, Harrison Ford had a couple of good ones. The Princess Leia and him have a couple good ones.
Yeah, the Princess Leia.
Janet Jones, yeah. I am a nice man.
Nope, just Spider-Man. Wet, upside down,
I mean, that
hard
is,
nipple.
It's pretty great.
It is pretty good.
Oh, there's the Notebook Rain Kiss.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's,
I mean, there's got to be other kisses, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there's been other kisses in Hollywood. Yeah. There's the kiss in Cruel Intentions between Sarah Michelle Gellar and
her brother.
No, I was thinking the chick.
Ryan Philippe. Oh, yeah. Wild Things.
Oh, yeah.
There's a three-way.
The three-way kiss.
Kevin Bacon.
No, it's Matt Dillon.
Oh, it is Matt Dillon. Yeah, you're right. It's Matt Dillon.
Neve Campbell and Denise Richards.
Yeah, that's right. Matt Dillon got to... God, Matt Dillon had a great career.
Yeah, Matt Dillon was killing it.
Jesus Christ, man.
He's a real stick man from what I understand.
Yeah. And this, I don't know, he's kind of a funny looking dude, but damn, he fucking like nailed it, dude.
Yeah, those. He had like 15 years. He had a run, man.
He had a crazy run. Even in Something About Mary, he's fucking great.
Yeah.
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 Matt Dillon's a great guy.
Good guy.
Going on record, Matt Dillon.
Matty D.
Yeah, Matty D. Good old Matty D. So anyway, back to the plot of this.
All right. So, yeah, well, I mean, we basically talked about it. So, I mean, the...
Yeah, they get harassed by the KKK right. a lot.
His wife leaves. Sandra Bullock shows up. She's an idealistic student.
She gives him some really good info.
She gives him a bunch of good info, and he's like, who are you?
And there's actually a pretty cool scene where her and Matthew McConaughey are having, like, lunch.
Yeah.
Like, shows up at the diner. And you find out Matthew McConaughey is still a Deep South guy. So he's still, like... I believe in the death penalty.
He's not like a super liberal.
Exactly.
In the way that she's like, cause she's from Boston and she's like East Coast liberal person.
She's super liberal. Yeah. And then she thinks like he is that because he's doing this case.
Right.
But he's still like a Deep South guy, you know, he's still like a bit conservative.
I like that. Cause most people.
It's very realistic.
Very realistic. Yeah. Most people aren't going to be super on the one side or the other. The fact that he's.
And he's a reluctant guy.
Right.
He's like helping him because he feels like he has to. Because nobody else.
Partly. Kind of but, I mean, I think he does.
I mean, and he believes it's the right thing.
He believes in the case, yeah.
But he's not going to be completely to the left side.
Right.
Yeah. You get a lot of that. You get the stupid bullshit Sandra Bullock.
Love stuff, yeah.
And it the trial escalates in a cool way.
Really good character witness stuff with different character actors, as well as the Chris Cooper scene.
Chris Cooper has a great scene where.
Great scene.
Yeah. Where, they ask him if, you know, if he saw him do it, and he's like, yeah, he clearly shot me.
Yeah.
And then Matthew McConaughey has nowhere to go on it, and Samuel Jackson tells him, like, ask him if I should go to jail for it. And he doesn't want to do it, and he asks him, and then Chris Cooper's like, you let him loose.
Yeah.
Like, he did it what I would have done. You let him loose, which is a very cool scene.
Very cool scene.
And, you know, again, Chris Cooper, I can watch that guy do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, you know, the trial keeps escalating. They keep getting harassed by the KKK.
Yeah.
Eventually, Sandra Bullock gets kidnapped and beaten.
Oh, that's a crazy scene. Yeah.
Not raped. I don't know.
And not really even beaten that much.
No, just like...
I guess when they show her in the hospital, she looks pretty rough.
But I feel like she got those wounds from the struggle of while they were taking her.
Yeah.
They grab her and they put her in the back. And I feel like...
There's a lot of fighting back and forth.
Like punched her in the face.
I mean, either way, I'm not saying they should have shown us more of punching Sandra Bullock in the face.
I think they could have though. Like,
they could have.
I think they could have really, really done this up. And I don't. It's a very uncomfortable thing to watch that scene. And if they would have gone way deep, if they would have gone way crazier in this and done like a rape or something like that, it would have been a really hard thing.
Well, and especially because that's what it seems like it's leading up to.
Yeah, because
they tie her up and they like rip her shirt off,
her skirt off
or whatever, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, they're gonna rape her, and they didn't. But if you did like a Cape Fear scene where you remember Rob De Niro beats up what's her name and like her face fucked up. Like, you could have done that, I think, without having to do the rape, but just to, like, show the extremity of it, you know? But no, they do this thing where they tie her up, and they're like, the insects are going to get you first, then the animals are going to come around, and then they're going to eat you alive or something like that.
Real bad plan. Real bad plan by the KKK.
Yeah, a really bad plan.
Need better planning there.
Leave a witness? Yeah. A living witness out? Come on.
I mean, I know, you know, the one thing we know about the KKK, it's very smart people, but not a good plan there.
Mississippi KKK, the smartest of all the planners. They put together a solid
bad plan. Well, I mean, after Kirkwood Smith burns up, I guess, Kiefer Sutherland just not ready for the job.
No.
He was new to the organization, hadn't really thought this out.
He seems like he had his shit together before it. Right?
Yeah.
Like he was like in a suit and stuff.
Yeah. When you see him at the funeral, he's like a suit and tie guy. You're like, he's the brother that actually like made something of himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't just like drunk all the day throwing bottles at
black kids. Yeah. 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 No, he's like, he came into town for it. He left.
Yeah.
I could see him fucking up the KKK.
Yeah.
He really ruined what the good organization.
What they had going for him. Yeah.
Which I feel like, well, I think, like, we kind of talked about that when they don't rape her, which, I mean, it was good. It was nice to not see them rape her.
It was very nice, yeah. It was
but
nice
we were like,
relief.
I wonder if some of those guys were like, hey, are we raping her or not? Yeah. Because with Kirkwood Smith, we were just raping everything.
It's like, I don't know if I like this new guy in charge. Yeah. He's not letting us rape?
Yeah. We're just leaving now?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Is this a joke?
Yeah. I feel like we're getting more raping.
Yeah.
But no, but then luckily that's when you have the Mickey Mouse character.
Yeah, the one guy who is not feeling all the KKK stuff, yeah. But he's in it. Probably because his dad was in it.
Something, right? Like he got dragged into it. Yeah. And, yeah.
He comes back and he saves her.
Right. He'd already, like I said, we'd already made a few calls earlier to like warn them to get out of the house or stuff like that when stuff was going down.
Yeah. He's a good guy. And actually, we don't fucking touch on this guy after.
No, really. He shows back up, takes her down, gets her to a hospital, and then that's it. That's it for that guy.
Yeah, we should have like at least learned who he was. Like, a little bit more about him, or...
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. He's just the one good KKK guy.
Yeah, I guess he's more unnecessary. Yeah. The trial kind of goes south for them after that, because...
Well, they had their big character witness, the doctor that's saying that he's insane, and so she get off on insanity.
Well, before that, we get the doctor from Silence of the Lambs, which, first of all... Yeah. First playing warning the same sign. Character. He's playing the same... Fucking doctor from Silence of the Lambs. He's still running an insane asylum. Was it just on his face? People were like,
yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, I think so.
This guy runs a crooked insane asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same guy. He's running
I could buy him running a crooked like prison as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
He could be a bad warden in one of those prison movies.
Yeah, like in Shawshank or something.
Shawshank
like
or Lockup.
Yeah, he could be a piece
Tango
of shit.
And Cash. Yeah. He's the one letting fucking Jack Palance's goons show up to beat up... Sly and Kurt Russell.
It's that weird smile, dude.
Yeah.
It's that weird. I don't know if you've seen The Boys.
I've not seen it yet.
But the guy that plays Homelander, who's the Superman character.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I'm like, it's just that smile. They cast him on that fucking fuckface smile. Like, such a piece of shit smile. He looks like he's super arrogant all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just as a regular guy, you know? So I'm like, it's the same thing with this guy. They cast him as that
arrogant
fucking
smile.
Arrogant. Piece of shit smile. It's yeah. Really good. They trap him.
Yeah, they do a good job of discrediting cool him. Yeah. It's a good lawyer scene.
Yeah, good lawyer scene. But then the guy that that Matthew McConaughey brings in, who's Donald right. Sutherland's old buddy.
Old drinking buddy,
who, you know, like...
They introduce in a very funny way as passed out drunk.
Yeah.
Because that's how you do.
And then you're like, that's the guy I'm going to put on the stand.
Yep.
They bring him in there to do like the opposite, the other...
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be their doctor.
Yeah. And then you find out that he was convicted of statutory rape way back
in 1960.
Really bad for
credibility.
For credibility, yeah. It's Emmett Walsh. He was in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
He was in Blood Simple. He's great in Blood Simple. Recently he was like in Knives Out. He always plays like that southern like sheriff or like he's got like a seersucker suit on all the time.
Yeah.
He does a lot of like, my word.
Yeah, let me just dap my forehead.
Yeah, which I was surprised that he didn't do a like, hey, I may just be a small town doctor.
But I know.
I'm no big city yeah. doctor. Yeah, but you find
after
they
you
discredit
find that
him.
He was, yeah, he has a felony for
statutory rape.
Yeah, statutory.
I mean, later we find out that he was 23, she was 17, and he actually ended up marrying her.
Yeah.
And
they've been married for 40 years like that.
Which is an important thing that Matthew McConaughey could have cross-examined, could have back on.
Yeah, because he just didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know until later, yeah.
Until much later, yeah.
So, anyway, then we get the scene where Matthew McConaughey's wife comes back and tells him, like, I'm sorry that I blamed you for all this stuff. You know, yeah. Gives him a little bit of a second wind.
Yeah.
You felt disheveled. He goes to talk to Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson has his great scene.
Yeah, this is Oscar.
No, actually,
Oscar scene.
We passed the other scene.
Which one?
The one that Samuel Jackson is the most famous for in this
movie. Oh, yeah, when he's on the stand.
This
yeah.
is the, yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn
in hell. Yeah, it's a great line.
It is a great line, and they catch him. Like, they trap him into saying that, because... Right. His whole thing is that he went insane and killed them. But if now he is aware that he's okay, you know what I mean? Like, that he should have died, then he wasn't actually insane. Like, that's kind of their point.
That's their point, yeah.
But anyway, he gets a great scene where he tells him, like, I picked you because you're a fucking white guy from the other side of the tracks. Like, you're one of them.
Right.
So think about what it would take for you to, like, acquit me. You know what I mean? And it's a really cool scene. And then Matthew McConaughey gets the closing statement, which is really well done.
Yeah, he gets his. This is his Oscar scene. Again, everyone has at least one. I mean, it's Matthew McConaughey's movie. He's the lead, but yeah. This is his, like, this is what's going to be in the nomination video.
He got no nominations for this.
Nope. Yeah. Not a single one.
Yeah.
This was the scene that they were sending to all the judges.
This is this is another one of those things that makes me, that everybody kind of hates about the fucking Academy.
Yeah.
It is just that thing. It's like, yeah, Matthew McConaughey did a good scene, but it's Matthew McConaughey. Like,
well, that too. And he was young. He hadn't proven it yet. So,
yeah, it's the Adam Sandler thing, right? Yeah. Where Adam Sandler brings out a great fucking performance, and they're like, yeah, but it's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck you, guys. Like, be about the performance, piece of shit.
It wasn't his turn. What was this, 96? Whose turn was it? I don't remember.
It's probably Gene Hackman and something.
Yeah, I mean, it should always be probably Gene
Hackman. Probably some old white man and something, man, because it's always like older people that get
these. Usually, fucking, yeah. Although it might have been Denzel. This was right around the time of his big run, getting nominated for a lot.
Yeah, you know what? You may be right. Because if this was 96, it would have been 97 Oscars, right?
Right.
Jeffrey Rush for Shine.
Oh.
All right, cool.
I like Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush. Actually, it's a really good movie. Yeah, it's cool. And it actually just kind of screams Oscar.
It does.
He's a disabled piano player.
Yeah.
It's fucking smart to like that movie. Yeah. Oh, the Academy sucks.
Except I love piano players.
Tom Hanks is cool. Obviously, Scorsese is cool.
Yeah.
Everybody else, I don't like. I care not for the fucking Academy. So we get that moment. We get the trial ending stuff.
Yeah.
And it's actually a really good scene.
And then he gets off.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we could talk about the ending. It's weird. I mean, I wanted him to get off, but it's weird that he gets off.
Yeah. I mean, because he clearly committed murder in front of many, many witnesses.
And also, like, that it just doesn't happen in real life.
Yeah.
Like, in real life,
he was guilty from the very beginning. This did come out a year after another black guy killed two white people. And totally didn't go to prison for it.
Yeah, but he was a famous black guy.
He was a famous black guy. And so, very rich.
O.J. Simpson, yeah. Famous and very rich, exactly.
Had a lot of powerful friends.
He had like 18 lawyers.
Yeah, he did. Very expensive lawyers.
Yeah, and they...
Famous people.
And they were all famous lawyers? Yeah. Which is weird.
It's weird to be a famous lawyer.
In 95?
Yeah.
It was weird that you were a famous lawyer, and then you had a bunch of kids that turned the guy that married your wife into a woman later?
I don't know.
Yeah. Fucking Kardashian.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, it is after the O.J. Simpson trial, which is also very interesting.
Yeah, because it had to have been happening while they were making this.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wonder if it was more like, I mean, I know the book and all that
stuff. Right, the book had already come out. So the book, John Grisham, of course, famous novelist.
Yeah.
This was during his heyday.
He also did The Firm.
Yeah, this was like the fourth, it was his first book, but it was the fourth movie based on one of his books, I think, because it was The Client, The Firm.
Yeah, The Client, that's right. He did fucking courtroom dramas, man.
I mean, well, he was a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly.
So he was a lawyer. This is very loosely, as in not at all based, but I guess inspired by an actual court case he had in 84.
Right.
Where he heard the testimony of this little girl, like this 12-year-old girl, who her 6-year-old sister were raped. However, the races were reversed.
Right. And I wonder if it was, when he was watching it, he was like, if this was the other way around, there's no way.
Yeah, possibly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That this goes the same way.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Matthew McConaughey's point.
I mean, I also don't think in that particular case, like, the dad didn't murder anyone.
Yeah,
it was just the idea of, like, hearing this incredibly, like, brutal, terrible testimony. And,
I know the novel, but I wonder if when they were shooting it, they're, like... They're
thinking about it.
They're hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. All right, so
we talked about O.J. last week. Yeah.
Damn, it was 90s, OJ 90s, time. Dude, 90s. Yeah.
Well,
what do we got? We got Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
We got O.J.
Yeah.
We got The Matrix.
Russ Perot.
We got Russ Perot. That's it. That
PlayStation
was the
90s. 1.
We got Crash Bandicoot. Yep. We got Waco, Texas, Crash Bandicoot, O.J. Simpson, Russ Perot. Yeah.
We got lots of stuff. We're going to talk Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, this fucking decade was a lot of trials. This was the rock star trial decade.
Yeah.
It was like, anybody create a crazy fucking crime, and your shit was all over TV.
Yeah,
like,
the Menendez brothers. Lorraine Bobbitt.
Yeah, obviously the fucking, she cut off her husband's penis.
Cut off her husband's dick.
And threw it on the field.
Yep.
Which is very funny. Wayne Bobbitt, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the rock star trial.
This is a weird decade.
Where you could just bring any camera into anything.
Was that late 90s,
That was 90s. Tonya Harding was 90s. Yeah. That was another big trial.
Yep.
Yeah, weird. Yeah, this is all fucking trials. No wonder that, you know, Grisham got all his fucking movies made. Yeah. It's all about courtroom shit. He was the king
of the 90s, man.
Yeah, hell yeah, he was.
Him and Clancy just going back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, Clancy was more shooting guys and less.
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of the movie franchises.
Yeah.
Did you ever read any of the Grisham books?
No, not at all. I mean, they came out when I was a kid. Like, yeah. It was a lot of courtroom. Even like some of the shit that I saw, like The Client. I don't remember anything about The Client.
Or Tommy Lee Jones, right? From Tom Cruise.
Yeah, like even that. I saw them when I was older, and I appreciate them now. It's like Wall Street, like we talked about. Like, I saw that when I was a grown man, because when I was a kid, I cared not about fucking finances.
Yeah, my dad had a bunch of the Grisham books, and I remember picking up, I believe, The Firm, and reading maybe, I don't know, 50 pages, and just being like, nah.
No, I was like, Cujo's fucking eating people alive over here, man. Exactly. Stephen King is doing some shit.
Some much crazier shit I could be reading right now.
Yeah, it's a killer clown in it, man. Yeah. Like, what am I fucking learning about your procedural shit? No, I never read any of the Grisham novels, but you know, I can see, again, this was a weird
this is the time though for him, though,
time for to make those courtroom dramas and stuff.
And I mean, even Few Good Men, which isn't a Grisham
no, but it's like, it's 100%
but it's
in that
totally in that type vein. Of movie.
Yeah Can't Handle the Truth, right?
Yeah
Apparently he couldn't handle the truth.
He definitely could not have handled the truth. Yeah.
It's always like somebody getting broken on the stand.
Yeah.
I don't know how often that fucking happens. Yeah. Somebody gets broken on the stand.
It doesn't really I mean, I guess it kind of happens in this movie a couple of times. It's not the huge break.
No, it does. I mean, the old guy, the old drunk guy, he gets broken on the stand. Yeah. Well Chris Cooper
definitely.
Well, Samuel Jackson for sure gets broken on the stand.
You got that's where the big line is.
Yeah.
Where he finally loses it.
Yeah, and so we get the great fucking Chappelle, Dave Chappelle.
The Sam Jackson beer. Yeah. Still one of the best two-minute fake ad skits.
Yep. He just yells that line. Yep. How old is Samuel Jackson in this movie? Because he looks like 53.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sam Jackson's one of those guys that...
Let's talk about everybody's age in this fucking movie. Well, we already kind of did.
Yeah. So Sandra Bullock is older than she should be.
Matthew McConaughey is younger than he should be. We all know Sam Jackson's been around for 140 years. That's right.
So Sam Jackson was born in 1948. So this movie, he would have been...
Jesus, really? 1947-ish?
48?
Yeah, he's 48.
Yeah, 47 when they were filming, probably.
He's the only one that looks his fucking age.
I mean, he looks older than that. He looks like he's probably mid-50s in this movie. Like, they definitely age him up. They gray up his hair.
Yeah.
He's got the ring. I think that's part of the reason why he shaved it full, because...
Yeah. Also, again, we talked about this while we were watching it, that in Black Snake Moan, he looks way older.
Yeah. Than he does in, like, the first Avengers movie.
Exactly, yes. Same thing with Django.
Yeah.
He looks like fucking 72 in Django. Yeah. Which he is now.
Which he is now.
But he doesn't look 72 now. He's still fucking Nick Fury. Yeah. He's still doing action movies and shit.
Although you can start to tell, the last... big action movie day. I think maybe it was Hitman Bodyguard or something after that. I was like, oh yeah, you can start to see it.
Yeah, he's getting older. Or like the Shaft movie.
Yeah. Maybe it was that one where you're finally starting to kind of see the
But
the
I could just there. Mocap him, man.
Yeah.
You could just get a guy to put some golf balls on him.
Yeah.
And it just
digitally. Like in Captain Marvel where
he's young. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't completely work, but...
No.
Eh.
I we've said this a million fucking times, but Robert De Niro and the Irishman. Yeah.
Yep.
When 88-year-old Robert De Niro pretending to be 32 years old but fighting a guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, just get a stuntman, man.
Just get a stuntman. That's what they're there for.
Yep. It's funny that Samuel Jackson's still kind of playing this part. Like, he can still play this part today.
Oh, yeah. He totally can play this
part
today.
Man, it's fucking ageless. Yeah. Like, man. He looks really good, and actually, right now, he probably looked better for this part than he did back then. Yeah. They finally do the verdict. Well, again, Matthew McConaughey does a great, great scene in it, where he actually describes what happened to a little girl. It's super heart-wrenching.
Yeah, it's a
very hard stuff to deal with.
Tough watch.
Yeah, tough watch. He turns the jury, and he gets off, and he's innocent, and then it ends with a big party at the end. I was kind of hoping, and I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. I hadn't seen this in a long time, right? So I couldn't remember if he had gotten off or not. But I feel like if it would have won some awards, it would have been he didn't get off. Like if it would have been like, oh, it won, you know, like it was nominated for Best Picture because
he didn't
because he gets
dies
the gas chamber at the end. Yeah. But also, I was kind of thinking like, oh, you know what? Maybe he got off and then he gets killed by Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which would have also made sense. Because you see Kiefer Sutherland
outside the...
The courthouse. Yeah. And then he gets arrested.
Right.
And then it's that scene that it's a shitty scene. I don't like that scene at all.
The one where they arrest him?
Where they arrest him and then the cop is like, yeah. And then the guy's like, you get over there yeah, too, it's cop.
It's such a movie scene.
It's such a fucking garbage movie
it's
scene.
It's such a movie scene. That would never happen. In real life, if you would have found out like that guy...
Yeah, and then like 14 other cops were covered for him.
Yep.
And then that's it. Like he's
not even that, but just like they're not going to do that all at once with just two guys. Just like, all right, oh, you're a dirty cop. I guess you're a bad guy now. Like, no, they would have arrested him back at the station with like 20 dudes, and
or they would have just suspended him without paying. He would have gotten been a cop somewhere else
or something. Yeah,
yeah, because there's no proof he committed any crime. Because usually you have 20 witnesses that say he didn't commit a crime,
right?
Because they're all fucking part of the Klan. Anyway, yeah, it's a super fucking garbage movie scene.
It's a movie scene. Sure. I mean, the end of the movie definitely goes a little Hollywood.
It goes super like saccharine kind of Hollywood. Yeah,
he gets off. They arrest the bad guys.
Yeah, all the bad guys get arrested.
Yeah, and then they go to a barbecue together, and you see their two kids together, and it's like racism is over because the next generation they won't be racist at all.
Nope.
Yeah,
this is it. We learned our lesson, guys. Yep. No, but I was thinking. Like, oh, maybe he gets killed. Maybe Kiefer Sutherland kills him.
Yeah.
Which I feel like...
Which would be kind of... It's full circle-ish, right?
Yeah, it would have been a full circle. It would have been... It would be like American History X, where at the end, like, everybody kind of learns a lesson, but then the kid shoots the other kid.
Yeah.
And kills him because it's like a perpetual...
Cycle
of violence. Yeah. And I think, like, it would have been more impactful if that happens. And we also kind of all get... You get realism plus a happy-ish ending. Like, he gets off, and you're, like, happy. And then he gets killed, and you're like, that's what reality is like. You know what I mean? And I think that would have been a much stronger ending to the movie.
Yeah.
Then everything is fine.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Everything's okay now. We did it. Yeah. Like, it just doesn't seem realistic to me. It seems very Hollywood.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Prisoners actually has a similar thing where... I don't hate the ending of that movie, but is without I guess spoilers for Prisoners, a movie that Passengers. Passengers. Yeah. Right. The movie that came out 5 years ago.
You're talking about the Out in Space.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Pratt and
because there was a Sandra Bullock movie called Passengers, right?
Yeah,
it's like an airplane movie.
So yeah,
yeah. That's not the one you're talking
not
about.
Not the one I'm talking about. All right. No. Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, alone on the space station. He ends up waking her up after a moral battle and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And so it ends with them, or it ends with her eventually forgiving him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it would have been pretty crazy if he actually died at the end and then she's left alone and has to face that same moral battle.
The same exact thing. Yeah, exactly.
That he had to face. Yeah. And then it's like the understanding of like, oh, yeah, being alone and. What does that
you
do to you?
Things. Exactly. No, I think that's the problem with this movie.
Yeah.
Is that the ending is not realistic enough, especially for how gritty the movie is.
Yeah, and especially if it's definitely going for the Oscar play, right? It's going for a prestige drama.
So go for it, man. Yeah, so they didn't go for it. And they really should have.
Yeah.
But you know.
But again, it's going for prestige drama in the same way that it's going for race relations. But it also wants to be a big blockbuster, which it was.
Yeah, it was. They made a lot of money.
You know, they're like, well, still let's focus on the handsome white guy and let's have a happy ending.
These
and...
executives cried themselves all the way to the fucking bank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see why they did it. And I'm sure with test audiences and all that shit too.
They're just sitting there like, oh, oppression's really bad. How much money again? Uh-huh. Okay, great.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah, I'm not changing shit. This is what we wanted.
Yep.
Want to make all this money for all you motherfuckers.
Yep.
That's the end of that.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
Tale. It's actually a really good movie. And I remember when I saw it.
Solid watch.
Again, I saw it in class. And I remember immediately being like, everybody is super fucking sweaty in this movie. And Jesus Christ. And it's got the most beautiful people. And they're all covered in sweat all the fucking time.
Yep.
Sandra Bullock, Matthew McConaughey, fucking Ashley Judd.
Yeah.
They're just like there's you could see the makeup lady that just sprays them with that
spray
fucking sweat thing. Yeah, every take like they're and Oliver Platt.
Yep.
Who's just Froggy.
He's going to be a... He's Foggy Nelson from Daredevil.
Foggy Nelson from Daredevil.
Which I said Matthew McConaughey totally could have been Daredevil if they made Daredevil in like 1998.
Yeah. 98. Yeah. Daredevil, he could be Murdoch for sure.
Yeah. Perfect.
Because he does... And then this cast could have just been Daredevil.
Yes.
Like Sandra Bullock. This cast
was Daredevil. Yeah. Sandra Bullock's Oh, what's her fucking name?
Yeah, whatever her fucking name is. I actually don't like that character, so you know.
Whatever. Yeah. No, yeah. She's not great in... Actually, she's not great in the comics either, now that I think about it, but she's not great in the show.
But, yeah, and then obviously Oliver Platt and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get... I mean, I guess Kevin Spacey couldn't necessarily be Kingpin, but he could have been a 90s Kingpin, yeah. Right?
I mean, he doesn't look the role, but you could believe him like as a crime lord. Late 90s
Kingpin, yeah. Sure. Yeah, he's a crime lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have put this cast in a fucking Daredevil movie.
100%. Okay. And in fact, that's what would happen. I mean, we should actually count our blessings that that's not how it goes down. But today, you'd been like, oh, courtroom drama? Sorry, we got to have that based on a previous IP.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Something with
some tights and fights.
Dude, we got to have an audience for it.
I mean, this was based on an IP, but
yeah.
It didn't have people punching each other.
I guess if you...
Oh, I actually had a little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
But it didn't have people in costumes punching each other.
Well, super punching each other.
Unless you call being very sweaty a costume again.
Well, if Kevin Spacey can be fucking Lex Luthor, why couldn't he be Kingpin?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have... You could have taken... Totally maybe Kingpin. That's how we fix this movie, without actually fixing the movie, because, you know,
we're
in the position to fix it. But, like, maybe we just take this cast and put it Daredevil? In Daredevil. Exactly. Throw it in there.
Then you get Daredevil fighting KKK dudes.
Oh yeah.
So he's representing Sam Jackson in court, but at night
he's punching dudes in the face.
Yeah, he's fighting KKK dudes with ninja moves.
Oh, which is fucking great, actually.
And then you find out that the KKK is actually I don't know, the fucking hand is behind them.
Yeah,
and then he has to fight some ninjas. It
usually
and
is
shit,
like
right?
that. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's usually like somebody bigger is behind it.
Or it's fucking like. Some mind control person.
Yeah. So is he just like a New York lawyer that comes down to help out? Is that what happens?
Probably, right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then
maybe it's, you know what, how it always goes is it's like an old buddy calls him up and is like, Matt, I need your help.
That's Donald Sutherland.
Yeah. Exactly. That's Donald Sutherland's character.
That's how he calls him.
It's like, I'm disbarred, so I can't do,
I can't represent this.
I can't represent this guy, but this guy needs representation from a good lawyer that wants the truth.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then he's like, all right, comes down, fights white supremacy all night long.
I mean, I'm sure this comic has had to have happened at some point.
Yeah.
Daredevil's been around since the 60s. He's got to have gone down and tried a case in Alabama and fought KKK dudes.
Fucking neo-Nazis and stuff.
He had to, at some point.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even in New York, like some of the neo-Nazi movements and stuff up there. Yeah, he probably could have done that, too.
I'm sure that's happened. Yeah.
That's what happens in this one.
Yep. That's what happens in our version.
I think, you know, like when you watch 12 Years a Slave, it's one of those movies that's super hard to get through and watch. And it just leaves you... That's a movie that ends... the way it happened in real life, so it's like, oh, there's no happy ending in this. Like, it fucking sucks. But you kind of fix that by watching Django afterwards.
Getting that.
Yeah, and getting, like, that awesome, he's shooting people in the fucking face and getting away and
that
killing.
Closure.
Yeah, you get that stylistic closure from Quentin Tarantino where you're just like, oh, I wish this would have happened.
Yeah.
He's a man with a gun. He's just killing all the...
Super fun Western.
Yeah, super fun Western. So that's the only kind of... Well, I mean, this one ends that way.
Yeah.
It doesn't end in a bad way. So.
Right. Although if it ended with a super fun Western breaking out, like, you know, I'm tired of Mississippi. Let's go cross the Pecos River and rustle up some cattle and shoot some banditos.
And like Sam Elliott is here now.
Yeah, Sam Elliott's here now.
Yeah.
He's riding with us. And now we're like the crew from Silverado and there's just...
Yeah.
We're a multi racial crew of cowboys kicking ass.
And you're like, who can out stash Sam Elliott? And you're like, well, one current Kurt Russell, obviously.
Obviously. He's the only one.
He's been like bringing that stash.
He's got that mad game. Like facial hair game.
Like the last like five movies.
Yeah.
He's got crazy facial hair.
Yep.
Good job, Kurt Russell, of just being like, you know what?
I'm not shaving.
The biggest fucking mustache and the craziest mustache beard combination.
Yep.
That I could come up with. I don't do this for me. My wife hates it.
Yeah.
This is for you guys.
Do this for the people.
Yeah, exactly. This is for everybody who's...
Maybe, do you think him and Sam Elliott just had a bet and now they neither one can back it down?
Yeah. It's like, well, Sam Elliott's been doing it for years.
That's true. He's been doing it since he was, I mean, even in like Roadhouse and stuff.
Yeah. Or Mask.
Actually, I had Roadhouse on the other day. Young Sam Elliott could get it.
That, hell yeah, he can, man. Like, his cut.
Yeah.
He's really I mean, his voice. His voice alone melts panties off. Yeah. It's like they melt off like butter.
I was like, God damn, young Sam Elliott with his long hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. Oh. And it's like his chest is like hairy and like really cut.
That
and
deep
stuff.
Voice. I was like, damn, Sam Elliott.
My word. I was back when mustaches were super sexy.
Yeah. 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 80s were a good mustache
time. Yeah. Yeah. Man. You had Magnum PI.
Right. Selleck and Elliott.
Yeah. And I mean, Burt Reynolds is still
rocking it. Yeah. Yeah.
He was still the sexiest guy from the 70s. Yep. So you still know him as that.
That's right.
Yeah. It was a good mustachioed. I mean,
era. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a good mustache hair.
I don't think we've had a. I mean, there's a lot of people rocking the facial hair, but I don't think there's no one that I look at these days. No young people that I look at these days with a mustache being like, yeah, that guy's holding it down.
Yeah, you're rocking it. Yeah, that's true. We even got weird mustaches back. It was like Gene Shalit.
Yeah.
He took a ridiculous
mustaches. Yeah.
That's kind of what he was known for.
Yeah.
It's weird that mustaches were like a big thing back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. They never like really came back except for with older dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No young guys are rocking a mustache anymore.
Or if they are, they're not rocking it well.
No, or it's a joke.
Yeah. It's the ironic creeps. Mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're being creepers or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody, there's not like a sex symbol that's just rocking a mustache anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you count, Michael Jordan on that plane with that Hitler mustache.
With his Hitler mustache.
For a Hanes commercial.
Long time he just had that Hitler stash. Everyone's like, what are you going to do? He's Mike. Like, you can't tell him.
He's the greatest basketball player of all time. What are you going to tell him, man?
One of the most famous fucking dudes in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you didn't complain when he was playing baseball.
Yeah.
You didn't complain when he was golfing. So, you know, let's let him have a Hitler mustache.
Yeah,
why
it's
not?
Fine. Style icon, though.
Yeah.
Shaved his head all of a sudden. Everyone shaved
Everybody shaved their head. Turns out you just look cool with a shaved head.
Yeah, it looks a lot better than the ring.
Yeah, and that weird Bozo the Clown.
If you're going to have the Bozo the Clown ring, just go full Jordan.
Yeah, for real. Go full Jordan. Yeah. I mean, they're always kind of one step ahead of us with that awesome look, that style. I'm talking about famous people.
Famous people, of course. famous rich people, for some reason, have
always one step ahead of us.
One step ahead with the style game.
Yeah, there's that Italian dude, that older Italian dude, and just girls are super into him. He's got like a white beard, and he's covered in tattoos, and he's got a very young supermodel wife, and he's super rich. And like, he's like an Instagram icon right now, but he's like 58, but you know, like...
Money don't grow old.
Yeah, 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 exactly, because money don't fucking grow old. And like... other times when if you're in the Philippines and it's a 58-year-old guy with a 20-year-old girl, everybody's like, ugh, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's super rich
and
attractive.
But if you're in Europe,
And you're super...
You're fucking driving around a Ferrari on the cliffs of Monaco or whatever.
Yeah. You're always like on a sailboat. Yeah. Yeah. That's a way to do it, I think.
Fuck yeah, that's the way to do it.
I think if you're going to be an old guy, like... creeping on with a young chick, if you're banging an 18-year-old,
have a sailboat.
Sailboat, yeah. Oh, that's
got to be a nice one though. It can't be like a shitty sailboat.
You just got to get pictures where you're hanging off of that thing.
Yep.
And fucking like moving fast. Yeah. That's all you need. And then they're like, "Of course he's banging an 18-year-old.
Yeah,
look
he's
at
cool
him.
As hell.
He's the perfect man. Yeah. You're just jealous because you wish you were him.
Yep.
And yeah, obviously
and
I wish.
Yeah.
I obviously wish I was him. But yeah, that's all you need to get away with that. Or what was who was the millionaire that had that the naked chick on his back? It was an Australian dude. What's his name? Virgin Records and stuff.
Fuck.
John Virgin.
Richard
Murdoch? No, it's not Murdoch. No. That's for sure.
Madden? Something Madden?
Maybe? John Madden. That was
John him. Madden. It was John
One
Madden.
Playboy billionaire John Madden.
Yep.
One Playboy.
What's his fucking name? That's gonna bug me now.
Virgin
yeah,
Records and the fucking
I know who you're talking
and the
about.
Airline and shit like that. Yeah, he had those pictures where he just had a naked supermodel on his back while he was parasailing.
Yep.
And I mean, it was very funny.
Yeah.
But still, we were all like, "Dope."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dude owned record stores all over the country.
Yeah, you know.
They're super
they're
successful.
Still around,
yep.
Those super successful record stores. And that airline that you're still
that
on all the time.
That, yeah, I fly that shit every day.
I fly Virgin Airlines all the time, man. You know, like, you can't get on a fucking plane anywhere without a Virgin airline flight being around.
That's right.
Yeah. John Madden look, really
if,
did.
If anyone, you know, look, some businesses are just made to last. Virgin Airlines, Trump Universities. You know, some businesses you just know you can rely on day in and day
from
out.
From now on, yeah, exactly. They'll be around for 125 years. Yep. Yeah. Writing a pussy train, never going to derail.
Yep.
We've said a lot this podcast.
Too much for what the movie we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're done though.
I think so. It's a good movie. One. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to talk about without being upset or like sad or be like the weight of the repercussions of what they're talking about is more enormous than any one man can handle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No podcast that's mostly about people drinking beer and telling dumb dick jokes.
Can really tackle these
big issues.
This movie with these fucking giant issues that is pretty successful.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. Is it a perfect movie? No. I mean, you can obviously make criticisms and we have. Yeah. But, you know, ending is really good.
But
well acted. Joel Schumacher.
It was nice to see it again, too. And also, it is interesting it's Joel Schumacher.
It was a nice reminder considering we just did Batman and Robin not long ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, oh, that's right, he made good movies.
He made a lot of good movies in there too.
I mean, and I say made because he hasn't made a movie in like,
it's been a while,
10 years or some shit like that. And the last one, it was like Trespass with Nicolas Cage or something.
That's right.
Nicole Kidman, you know, that weird straight to video movie where they look airbrushed as fuck on the cover.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they look like Shrek. They're so fake looking.
Yeah, yeah. I never watched that one, but I remember hearing about it. It did not sound good.
Nope, it did not get good reviews.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it was Joel Schumacher because I don't think the box said
Schumacher
film. Yeah,
which is just how bad Batman,
it was. Yeah.
Well, it's how bad Batman hurt his name fucking
in the
industry.
When he made that fucking cartoon, that Batman cartoon, there was not as there was way more cartoony than the actual Batman cartoon that was happening at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting that he made this movie between the two fucking Batman movies. That's crazy.
It's insane. Like, if it happened 5 years before or 5 years after, you'd be like, yeah, all right.
I took a hiatus. But
right in the middle of being like doing the two craziest, most cartoony fucking
Fucking Batman movies. Yeah.
He's just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to drop this serious Oscar contending fucking courtroom drama with an all-star cast of like 20 awesome actors.
Yeah, and all of them get a great scene. There's great acting in it. And then he's like, all right, good, I'm glad. And then he's like, great job, what are you going to do next? And he's like, oh, I got fucking Schwarzenegger dancing and shit.
Dudes on ice skates.
Yeah.
I got fucking Batman and Robin surfboarding in the sky.
I'm putting nipples on the fucking suit, dude. And they're like, why? And he's like, nipples on the bat suit, dude.
Yeah.
All like, right. Didn't you just make that race movie? Yeah, nipples, dude.
Again, all-star cast, though. That's all I work with.
Yeah.
Get Silverstone in here. Get O'Donnell.
Get his fucking...
Clooney's.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman, yeah. Yeah. Get another all-star cast, but just make him dance around like idiots.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
You think he tried to sell, like, Sandra Bullock or... McConaughey or any of them on set?
How funny was that?
Because he knew Val was leaving, right?
Yeah, he had to have. Yeah.
So do you think he was like, "Hey, Matt,
you think he pitched it? He's like, all right, guys, how about this? We take the whole cast from here.
We just roll it over, man.
We move it over.
Sam Jackson, how'd you like to be Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, actually, Sam Jackson would have been.
He played
solid.
It 3 years later in The Incredibles, right?
That's right. Yeah. Frozone.
Yeah.
Yeah. How would you like to be Mr. Freeze? And then. You know, Kevin Spacey, I don't know, you'd be Bane or something stupid like that.
No, he'd be the doctor, in the very beginning, John Glover.
Yeah, he'd be John Glover's character. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, it would have been awesome if he pitched that.
Yeah.
Bring everybody over. And everybody's like, what are you doing, man? he tells Hunter Bullock, like, we're going to get a shot of your tits and a shot of your ass in the suit. Doesn't that sound fucking great? She's like, I'm the biggest star right now. Yeah. And I'm trying to fucking make a name for myself.
Yeah. No, I'm like a top 10 fucking box office draw right now.
Yep. No, tits and ass, Batgirl. Come on.
Yeah.
You're playing a college student here, you can play a high school student there.
Yeah. Why not?
And then he's just telling like Matthew McConaughey's like, I don't
know. Bullock never went like full sex symbol. Like she never had her sexy movie.
No, it's all Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
Girl Next Door stuff.
That's interesting. Usually you have at least the one where they try and get out of the box.
Maybe it's going to be the next one. Maybe she's going to get a Diane Lane style.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you're right, huh? I guess that was always kind of my problem with Sandra Bullock, is I never had anything to jerk off to.
Yeah.
Like all the other girls, yeah. I had something to jerk off to.
Yeah, you had at least one scene.
Somewhere in there
where you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, or like an old picture from way back.
Yeah,
like
before
something.
They were famous.
Yeah, or a movie before they were famous or something like that, or some good cleavage in there. Like Sandra Bullock, I got none of that.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm just like, a 16-year-old me, I'm like, I'm done with you, Sandra Bullock. Get out of my fucking life.
Yeah.
You're a waste of a hot actress. You're giving me nothing to work with.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan at least was kind of sexy in that drunk movie that she was in. Like, I don't know. It's something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's my stance, as unpopular as that would be. I wonder if he was like telling Matthew McConaughey, like, you can be Batman. He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, oh, no, it's got some heart in it. The butler gets cancer or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure yet.
I'm not sure. We're figuring it out.
It probably has something to do
maybe
with poison
dies,
ivy.
I don't know.
He probably doesn't die. Yeah. I think he's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can be Batman, though.
Yeah, that's true. Southern Batman?
Yeah. Again, the comic books
Texas Batman?
That. Yeah. Have the comics ever done like a Southern Sheriff Batman?
I don't know if they've done that. I mean, they've done Batman through the ages.
Yeah, so they've done like a fucking Jack the Ripper.
I mean, they've definitely. I mean, Batman's fought people all over the world.
Yeah, but he's never been.
But
like
I don't
a
know if he's ever
sheriff.
Been a small town sheriff.
In a small town sheriff taking
Gotham
on social
town.
Issues. Yeah, social issues that are bigger than him. He's never had to deal
with. I've seen Cowboy Batman, so that's pretty close.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but Cowboy Batman is probably more like dealing with like Confederates, maybe.
Probably.
And
or
like,
just, you know, like
just all around bad guys.
Yeah,
like
Jesse James types.
Yeah. Cattle rustlers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which it was okay to hang you if you stole enough cattle.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. They're like, nah, fuck you, dude. You stole like 40 cows, dude. I'm hanging.
You're dead.
Nah, I mean, I know, like, they were expensive, but if you steal 40 cars now, they don't kill you for that.
That's true.
Yeah, back then, though.
But then, but now, if you steal 40 cars, no one's going to, like, starve to death.
You're kind of a hero, too, if you steal 40
cars. Well, yeah, that's true. Now you're fucking Nick Cage and Gone in 60 Seconds or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
you're now a fucking Dom Toretto. Yeah. You're the fucking best.
Yeah, people love this fucking guy. He's
you don't got friends,
cars.
You got family.
Yeah, stealing 40 cars for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But if you go to like middle America and steal 40 tractors, you hurt some fucking farmers.
Yeah.
You still don't get hanged for that.
That's true.
Yeah. Back then, you just steal enough cows, they just hang you.
They just hang you, yeah.
So I wonder if Batman ever still hung
some people. Cowboy Batman just hanging a dude.
Cowboy Batman. Ridiculous thing we just came
up
with.
You gotta sell
Batman.
Toys, man.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta
sell toys.
You gotta put up a cowboy hat on Batman, dude. Yeah. I mean, we got Zorro and like.
I mean, Zorro
Lone
is
Ranger.
Cowboy Batman.
Yeah.
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger's
both
Cowboy
Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the Batman never just go back in time. I mean, he never really went back in time, right? Did he?
Yeah, he's done that.
God damn it, he has.
Yeah. Of course he has. Come on.
He went to feudal Japan that one time in that awesome.
That insane fucking.
That awesome
movie.
Anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fucking great.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wonder if he was ever just Bruce Wayne, small town, fucking border town sheriff.
Yeah.
Dealing with the
he's still wearing the
pistoleros.
Bat suit, though. Just, he's sitting. I like the idea, too, that it's like modern day, or it's like the kind of that like quasi-modern day.
He's still like a worn-out sheriff that people don't take seriously.
Yeah, exactly. But he's still wearing the bat suit, but he just has cowboy boots.
He's got way too many folders that he's holding and drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And like getting shit from his secretary.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of quipping with the secretary and stuff. And yeah, and it's just like, uh-oh, like a big-time pistolero's coming through town. Yeah. He doesn't know how to handle it. Yeah,
like
you can do that.
Yeah.
I like it. I dig it. I do a small-town Sheriff Batman. Anyway, this was a time to kill.
This was definitely a time to kill, the movie that we talked about today.
Yep.
I don't remember what we're talking about next week, but you'll find out.
Yeah, tune in next week. We're going to talk more about the O.J. Simpson trial, obviously.
Yeah, it's going to come up a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe some more other 90s stuff, like Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like
certainly.
Like the Super Nintendo.
Big in the 90s. Big in the 90s.
Super Nintendo, maybe.
Yeah. Again, PS1.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. Final Fantasy VII. Yeah. Also relevant. There's the remake, so.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Talk all about that. The 64 came out in, I believe, 98.
The Clinton administration.
Talk about Ocarina of Time, yeah. And talk about the Clinton administration.
Yeah, obviously.
Talk about him, you know, banging that chick with a scar and all that.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Yeah, we're going to talk about Bob Dole.
Yeah, of course, Bob Dole. Yeah. How about every kid in that I knew back then would do an impression of Norm MacDonald doing an impression of Bob Dole, but his impression was actually an impression of Dan Aykroyd doing an impression of Bob Dole.
Yeah.
So it was like five steps removed.
It's a fucking inception of jokes.
Bob Dole.
Yeah. He just had like a weird hand.
Yeah.
And he would talk in the
third person.
Third person was weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
They put him up against Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. In the 80s, we talked about Dukakis. We talk about Bob Dole in this one.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Let's go heavy Bob Dole. That next episode, all Bob Dole.
All Bob Dole. All Bob Dole.
All Bob Dole and Elizabeth Dole. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah, that's all we're... We'll get some Steve Forbes in there. Why not?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, let's do it.
He believed in a flat tax, that guy did.
And he's right. It's a great idea.
Until then, though.
Flat tax for life. I'm EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.